Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder and want to welcome you to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. I want to welcome all of our listeners and co-hosts, of course, is none other than Dan Calloway. And I want to just continue to remind everybody that I am still thoroughly convinced that after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am still convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And today, we're very proud to have another individual from the city of Riviera Beach, Florida, none other than Captain Jeffrey Jackson, retired Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Mr. Jackson graduated in 1982 from Pahokee Junior and Senior High School. He had the pleasure of serving in the U.S. Marine Corps from 1982 to 1985, and while in the Marines, he received extensive training in the areas of combat tactics, field survival, and leadership. Now, after attending Brooksdale College in Cotemec, New Jersey, Mr. Jackson completed his active military service assignment and became a proud member of the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, where he served as Deputy Sheriff from 1986 to 1999, and in January of 2000, he was promoted to the rank of lieutenant. In this capacity, he had the pleasure of serving in multiple leadership roles throughout the agency. Then in 2016, he was promoted to the rank of captain and held command assignments throughout his agency. His duties and responsibility would include, but not limited to, staff oversight, fiscal accountability, strategic planning, and support, both law enforcement, and correctional divisions. Good afternoon, all of our listeners and Captain Jackson, and I'm going to turn the program over to none other than Dan Calloway. Good afternoon, Mr. Calloway.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you and all the listening audience, and, of course, to one of the exciting and probably the best person I can tell this listening audience that after 35 years in law enforcement, he ought to be equipped to get us into the criminal justice where he will be dealing with, whether it's local or whether it's state or whether it's federal. He's going to do that down the line because this, we can't afford not to have this talent put in that type of place in this day and time. Captain Jackson, give me a little more for the audience to know about your family, the siblings, and of course, I'll ask you some questions about your most famous sibling, the Hall of Famer, the first black Hall of Famer in football, Ricky Jackson from the New Orleans Saints, and of course, Super Bowl ring from the San Francisco 49ers. Bring us up a little about, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Calloway. So I'm Jeffrey Jackson. I grew up in Pahokee, Florida. And as you know, I graduated from Pahokee High School in 1982. I had a large family. My father had 20 kids. And so it was always busy. And I come from a rather tight-knit family as well. And I left Pahokee and went off to the Marine Corps. And as you know, after serving 3 years in the Marine Corps, I received a call from Captain Ed Gray. And at the time, he asked me if I wanted to get out of the foxhole and make some real money. And when he told me what I would be making, it was double what I was making in the Marine Corps. So a month later, I was in Palm Beach County trying to get started in the academy. So asked me to talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Now, what I wanted to make sure everybody knew, you started from the ground up and let them know about Ed Gray, retiree from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. That's so important.
Yeah, so Ed Gray, my father, was actually on the police force in Pahokee. My father was the first African-American police officer in the city of Pahokee, and eventually he would meet Ed Gray there, and they became good friends. And Gray was really more like I grew up calling him Uncle Gray, and they were very close. And eventually Gray would leave that agency and eventually make his way to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Once there, he himself achieved the rank of captain, and he called me to join him.
Well, that was the Palm Beach County Sheriff gang when you became there, because when you came, I was still there working. But most of all, give us a little update on your most famous sibling. I know them all, Ricky Jackson, for whom I'll expect to be on this program down the line. He's busy right now because he's in trouble just like everybody else in New Orleans, because the hurricane is going in there right now for the Category 4, and we're going to be praying for him and all the rest of the people up in Louisiana. And I know
yes,
that
they can use it.
They can certainly use
the prayer. So Ricky was an outstanding athlete in high school. Ricky participated in everything, and oftentimes, you know, he got a real early start and grew up competing with, you know, older guys, and he was just a great all-around athlete. He played baseball, track, football. You know, not that he was that fast, Mr. Calloway. I was actually faster than Ricky. But he played basketball as well, and he's an all-around guy. He had scholarships and offers in multiple sports, and he chose to play football. He went to the University of Pittsburgh. While there, he played alongside Hugh Green, and of course Dan Marino was the quarterback there, and he and Dan formed a good friendship that still lasts today. Dan come out to a lot of his golf tournaments and things of that nature, Hugh Green and Lawrence Taylor as well.
That is beautiful, and they will be here February when we have our Black History Banquet outing, and, of course, the night of brilliant and beautiful. Yep.
Right. So Ricky went on to play.
Yeah.
I was about to tell you, so Ricky went on to, you know, he was drafted to the New Orleans Saints, and they had never had a winning season before Ricky got there. They would fall short of winning a Super Bowl while he was with the Saints. But eventually he would, after about 11 years with the Saints, he would then move on to the San Francisco 49ers. And he was there for 2 years. And while there, he won a Super Bowl ring. And eventually he would become a Hall of Famer. And just recently we were out in New Orleans to one of his, I'll call it a field day for lack of a better word, Ricky Jackson Day, where he had a bunch of his classmates come out and a lot of people from the New Orleans area. And, of course, a lot of the Hall of Famers and other athletes who are his friends, and they come out and support his annual golf tournament. And he showed them a real good time. And but here now, Ricky is spending his time playing golf with friends like Michael Jordan and Lawrence Taylor, and he's and visiting his son in Belgrade. Well, his son in Belgrade, they're coaching football. One of them, Richard, moved back home to coach there, and his brother, Rakeem, came in to help him out. And they're doing an awesome job coaching the Glade Central Raiders. So far they've won two games, and they're undefeated.
Well, one thing about it is the rich, fertile soil of the Glades produced by capital as many athletes, especially football players, in the whole country. That's been dated. The thing that I need to listen to audience need, and you need to be able to explain that, when you went all those schools that the sheriff offered, you took advantage of that. You started before I left, and you kept on. Now, that prepared you to go into the public sector. Now, whether you choose to be the mayor of a town, a council person, or the county commission, or running for the sheriff, or the senator, or whatever, how far are you down the line before making up your mind to throw your hat in the ring?
It's a good question, Mr. Calloway. I think my mind is made up now. I am certain to run for public office, and I spent a lifetime, you know, participating with organizations such as yours, and we've been doing that with you for better side of 30 years, I'm sure. I think my number is correct. And yes, and so I've worked with you from Inner City Youth Golfers Association. I'm the president of Federation of Families. It's a group that support at-risk kids with mental disabilities. And, you know, I've taken my advocacy from Palm Beach County to up to Tallahassee and, of course, to Washington. And we've been very successful in helping youth raise money for scholarships. You and I have done that together many times. And we've been able to raise a lot of money together and put a lot of money in the hands of kids in need. And I'm very proud of that. In fact, that's probably the proudest of my body of work. But I am certain to run for public office, and I you know, and when the time comes, you guys will be the first to know.
Okay, and the other thing, you got me involved about 3 or 4 months ago, and I'm heavily involved now, and I know you are, about the mental health program, Cecilia 2000. Now, the young lady, I think her husband is from Pahokee, the Melvins.
Yes.
Are you going to just say you elected to go, whether it's local or statewide, up to, not Tallahassee, Washington, will that be one of the things that you're going to really be putting on the agenda to try to do something about? Because there's a lot of things that you learned while you were in law enforcement to recognize mental illness. Because a lot of things, people being with certain behavior and people drawing guns and killing them up, doing like that, but really they need a doctor. Now, will your background as a law enforcement personnel help you be able to do more when you get into a position of power or policy making as an elected official?
Absolutely, Ms. Calloway. Once you've had an opportunity to be trained and to know what's of the individual officer, and you have an opportunity to learn a lot, and that allows you to respond different to different situations. And that it doesn't matter if that situation is happening inside of a jail or out on the street. You know, I don't think any cop today can say that he's absent any opportunity to learn how to be responsive to certain situations. You know, there was a time that officers did not get all the training that they probably should have, and unfortunately people would get treated differently, for lack of a better word, and different from how they should have been treated. But today's officers certainly cannot make that claim, and it's unfortunate that some will make mistakes and do things that they should not do and still try and make the claim that, you know, maybe there's some lack of training. And when they're not making it, sometimes the media and others are making it for them. They're advocates, be the police unions or whatever. But I also had the opportunity to learn a lot about advocating for different positions, being a representative of the police union, and that's the PBA, the Police Benevolent Association, and being an elected rep there for 28 years. I would always take advantage of every opportunity that you know, that the sheriff's office would provide to send me to training, and Sheriff Rick Bradshaw certainly wanted to. He put a lot of stock in us being very educated. And Danny, you made way for a lot of people too, because you got Richard Willie and centered in the right place about the importance of getting officers trained to be responsive, so that we're treating people the right way. And we thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Richard Willie, probably the greatest, not only sheriff, but elected official, because he listened to what the voices of the people and his men would tell him. And that was my job for all those years. But one of the things I need to bring up right now, this weekend is the anniversary of about 10 years ago when the hurricane came on the backside, I call that the backside of Florida, going up to Louisiana and tore up New Orleans and the dikes and the walls, because your brother built the Ninth Ward he got in that business. He rebuilt that. That was his company that rebuilt the Ninth Ward. What are you planning on doing? When we were in a meeting not too long ago about one of the days a hurricane's going to come on the east side and come through Singers Island, Riviera, and Palm Beach and just be devastating. We can't afford a four or five. Anytime you hear it's a four, and that's what's up coming up to New Orleans, the water and the wind is too powerful. Although our buildings can handle it better now because the building code is, but what about all those houses? Just take Monroe Heights. None of those houses was built with the new code. And I guarantee you, if you are in a state level, you're going to have to do something about your home ground, Pahokee, Belleglade, and South Bay, because there are so many buildings that is under code and need to be rebuilt, toned down. Just say if you in Tallahassee, are you going to be fighting for the government to put money in it? Not wait till FEMA need to, after something happened, need to do it before something happened. That's the way you were trained in law enforcement. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Mr. Calloway. We certainly have to be proactive, and we're here in Palm Beach County. Of course, the people in the Glades are subject to whatever will happen with Lake Okeechobee and any potential overflooding there. Of course, here on the coast, you know, we're right off the ocean, and so we can see a tremendous amount of water. And, of course, hurricanes can come at, and be totally devastating. We saw a total collapse of government effort on every level in New Orleans. And I think we had a truck from here to New Orleans before the government had a response to New Orleans. But we experienced a hurricane here, and at the time I was running the sheriff's office drug farm. And as you know, you called me up because we were out of water in some places and ice. And we made sure you had, and that was whole, you were running an operation in Riviera Beach. And at the time, I think I was running four relief centers. A lot of people who, even Florida Power and Light, a lot of the technicians had to take off for Georgia and other places where they had to be responsive to, and it left Palm Beach County in a particular situation that wasn't good for anyone. And we were able to collect food and run up, you know, emergency management centers and give water and things of that nature. But we need a relief center. We need a building that's focused on that. And we probably need more than one, but Riviera Beach needs one. And we need a rather large one, so something that would at least hold 500 people to begin with. And with the space and the cooking ability to cook and to have all the infrastructure needed to run an operation like that. And it can be built and done in a sustainable manner. That said, you know, that building can be designed so that it could facilitate other uses, maybe a soup kitchen. I could name a number of things. It would have been a great idea to have something in place like that. We could have been responsive to a location to have, you know, COVID shots or anything else that this people might need to meet their needs.
Well, set in tune. Now, let me say this here. The host of this show, which she's been in a meeting, and we're going to have another meeting with seven young ladies, and I talked to the city manager, and he's on board with that. We're going to figure out a way to build that with your leadership, because you know something about that. A building, just like you said, about 500 people or more. But when it's not a hurricane or anything, we're going to have that soup kitchen to feed all the people without food, the ones we call, most people say they're bummed. They're not bummed. They're just on bad luck, or their luck went bad. Or maybe they were mental or something like that. But we're going to have people training people how to work and then have a space in there where people can go and take showers off the street. Those people are on Singers Island right now, under the causeway. We must do something about humanity. We spend all this money. going all over the world, going up in to a capsule is going up there every month or something. But what do we do about the people right here? They handled the Native Americans. They gave them the casinos. But poor people, like in parts of Riviera, West Palm, Lake Worth, Boynton, and, of course, the Glades, the second largest county in the whole United States. What are we doing about that? Now, it starts with the policymakers. That's what I'm worrying about, people who want to run for something, and they don't understand. They got to go and listen to the people. Now, the reason why I brought up about you, we were over there in Belgrade 3 weeks ago feeding about 2,000 or 3,000, and it was 5 deputy sheriffs, and I told them that you send your regards. And the first thing they said, when is he going to run since he's retired from the sheriff office, because he's been working on that for years. That's what the people are saying about you right now. So down the line, you're going to have to throw your hat in the ring, because we need a leader.
Well, you're certainly going to have me, Mr. Calloway. I am committed to doing it, and I think that's going to be sooner rather than later. And we're going to make every effort to do right by the people. And, you know, when you're coming up in high school, if you don't have strong family support, you don't have those mentors and people in the community around you, you know, high school and middle school and high school doesn't do anything to teach you about, to teach you how to think, how to process. And it certainly don't teach you anything about leadership. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, you have to be exposed to those things, you know, in your family and in the community. And I've been blessed in that regard to be surrounded by people. And I've made a conscious effort to surround myself with people that would be a benefit to me. And guys like yourself, and you've certainly been a blessing to my life and a blessing to so many others. And I know Ricky feels the same way. We were just talking about you, of sitting down with him and George Rogers and one of my nephews, and we were talking about you out in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we all feel that way about you. I know Elam feels the same way about you. There's so many guys, and we thank you for your body of work. And I want to make good on all those conversations that we've been having over the years. And I will certainly bring the right type of leadership to it. I won't shy away from the big issues. I see politicians today hiding from the big ticket issues only because they know another politician might feel different about their true position. And they're almost voiceless now. And we just don't have a lot of people out there standing up for what's right and making every sector of government, be it law enforcement or wherever and whoever, just ensuring that everybody is in the right place doing the right thing.
Well, one of the things that I need to mention, years ago when Mayor Bishop Masters, the mayor appoint people to the Housing Authority Board, and you were one of the people years ago got on it, and when the place that you all built on Congress, they tore it down and rebuilt it. They had a great senior citizen place in there. Now, are you still on that board, and what are some of the things that you were instrumental in getting money and building and tearing down things and refurbishing it? Give us a little highlight of that.
Great question. Great question, Mr. Calloway. You actually took me to that place. It was Ivory Green, and you took me there some years ago. I think me and you and maybe I want to say Rick Bradshaw was one of the elected officials that was out there at the time. I remember Ms. Shepherd being there, just some of the people, Mark Shepherd, just some of the people that I remember being at that particular day that I remember meeting and talking with. But when I saw that place then, I was like, wow, you know, we could use some help here. These buildings could use some modifications. But, you know, little did I know, maybe a decade later, Mayor Masters he told me he wanted me to serve on the Housing Authority Committee, and he had something specific in mind. He told me that for 35 years, Riviera Beach had not had a housing development, not one of substantial size anyway, and he wanted to see that done. And the boards before me, and I can't take anything away from him. I wasn't on the board at that time, but I can tell you he was right in that. They had not had a housing development for decades. And I told him I thought we would get it done in 4 years. You know, you're talking about 35, 40 years. I told him, give me 4 years. God blessed us, and only by the grace of God, we were able to break ground in 2 years. And now you see the new site there at the Ivory Green property, and it's called Heron Estates. We have completed phase one, and now which was a $22 million project, and we've substantially completed phase two, and it too is a $22 million development. And so, you know, and I am the chair of that committee. You know, you have to go out and you have to raise those dollars. And you can do public-private partnerships, and that's what I have elected to do. And we have a great project there, and I want to keep going. We can totally rebuild Riviera Beach and give it the type of housing that people deserve and affordable housing that people deserve. That's the big thing, because rents in Riviera Beach are compatible to rents anywhere else in the county, you know, and that just should not be.
Well, let me go back and say this. Well, you're right about that, but we got to build affordable homes too. See, because you're not going to get no tax break off rent all your life. You need to try to own your own property. But let me go back and say this here. You got the background of working with so many organizations that make things better than you found it. And housing is one thing is need to be upgraded tremendously in Riviera and in Palm Beach County, except Palm Beach, to be frank with you. Now, they're doing things. I had a meeting with the county administrator, Virginia Baker, this week on Tuesday. And that was some things we were discussing, and we're going to discuss some more. And, of course, and that same day I had a phone conference with the city manager, Jonathan Evans, and we talked about different things. Some way or another, they say they got money coming in, or they got money, but we're going to have to get more money. Because Belglade, when I say Belglade, I'm talking about South Bay Belglade and Pahokee. That's Palm Beach County. And when you drive over there, still a sign, her soil is her fortune. Of course, they want the vegetation of growing things make a lot of money, but we've got to figure out a way to do something about those dilapidated places over there. Last year, before Christmas, there was a running water in some of those buildings because they were absentee landlords. We got to have some people in it. That's why I've been working up to get you involved more, because you have the background from the law enforcement personnel, and then you got it on the housing authority, and you came on years ago, putting there 10 years or more. You all raised the money, and you've been doing things. But you, if just say you go into politics, who's going to take your place on that housing authority board? You don't leave anything.
Kelly, that's a real good question. We have some good people that's there now, so certainly one of those people will be elevated to chair. But the person that will replace me on the board, that would be up to the current mayor. The mayor makes a selection, and from there the commission confirm his selection.
Okay, I understand that. But didn't you train a lot of people at the sheriff's office? So when you left after 35 years, they could step in and try to fill those big shoes? You have to do the same thing on these other boards.
Well,
see, if you train somebody.
And you are correct. And that would have to be a vote among the people who are currently on the board. And I can tell you, I can honestly tell you, all of them can fulfill that role. I ensure that they get a lot of training. We just had our last training last week, and the week before that, we had another training so that we can always stay relevant on what's happening in the world of housing authorities. I think last week we did ethics training, something we do every year, so that we don't have the kind of problems you've seen on some other boards across the country. We've been able to avoid all of that sort of thing.
Well, the reason why I put a lot of emphasis on that, this show was started because I am Riviera, the young lady, Ann McNeil, with a brilliant idea in promoting this, and now everybody talking about it. We can't take a step backwards. We got to keep going forward. See, the thing before, we didn't know any better. But when you know better, you must do better. And I'm always big on training. This is why I'm impressed with you, because you've been working with younger people trying to open the door for them like someone opened the door for you. And I know your mother, and I know your father is gone now. But years ago, I used to have to get with you, and you would have to like when we would go to Goodmire Park, and they was always having something big on 4th of July, or Memorial Day. Ann grew up right there, and she was big a part of that. But you took me someplace over there with our big truck, and they gave us 100 watermelons. Way back there then. Do you remember that? And we had to go out in the field.
Oh, yeah. But I think my memory says, I think we went asking for 50 to 100, but, if for those who know Dan Calloway, he ended up with more than that. And but what my surprise was, I thought we were going to get out there and we were going to have someone. I thought these guys were going to load the watermelons up for us. They told us, no, you guys can have half the field, but you had to pick them. So in Danny Calloway's fashion, Miss Calloway told me, well, Jeff, let's get to going. And, of course, that
meant
me. Well,
you didn't want an old man to be picking them. That was Clark Martin and myself. You had to pick all those watermelons and put them on that truck. There's no way in the world
I did.
At my age out in that sun was going to be picking those watermelons. No. But anyway, but the point is, go ahead.
To the listeners, I don't know if you've ever picked watermelons, but it's not easy. Some of them are pretty big.
Yeah, they were big, and there was a lot of lifting. But it was for a good cause. Now,
it was.
Whether it's in Belgrade, whether it's in Monroe Heights, I don't care where it is. And we got a lot of things that actually on the second of, which will be the first Saturday in October, we will feed about 3,000 to 4,000 people at Wells. We're going to be having the city manager want me to have a big city fish fry. And rather than have all those people packed up on each other, trying to, of course, when you start frying fish and all that stuff and got hot dogs for the kids or whoever they want them or something like that with the drinks, water, and sodas, we're going to take 600 meals and carryouts over to, Stony Brook. Rather than have everybody out of there trying to think about the pandemic, and a lot of people may not have their masks or something like that. And then there'll be 100 people we will feed at Linda Davis Senior Citizen Building. So when she can cook, we're going to have people just delivering it, the DoorDash. We're going to do that. That's part of a monthly activity for the next year. Starting September, we're going from September to September. We got a lot of tremendous activities. And I know there's a committee that asked you to be a part of that because so many doors can be open. And I do have 7 young ladies. We will meet on the second Saturday. What is the place you carried me up in North Palm Beach and had lunch the other day? Frigates?
Our last meeting, that was at Frigates.
Well, there's going to be a meeting there with Ann McNeil and 6 other women and Artie and myself planning
great
numerous of things. See, we're going to stop. We got to stop talking. We got to do more doing. And that just, and if we were going 1,000 miles, it start with one step. And that's what we got to do. And most of all, Captain, I'll always call you the Captain. Captain Jackson, I hope that you join the 18th year of Government Day at Reverend James E. Adams Church at Mount Zion on 9th Street in the 800 block, right up on the hill, right up the hill from New Macedonia. There's 4 or 5 churches right on that street where the city manager will be the guest speaker. He is
great.
The guest speaker. And of course, Virginia Baker, and I haven't had a consent from the sheriff's office yet, but from David Ehrenberg and this part of his staff will be there. So, of course, we're going to, everybody, when they get out of church, all they have to do is walk, they'll have a go plate for them. You're not going to sit in there and be eating in the dining room. We got enough food to feed everybody that come to church. See, we're going to get the church more involved. And the government got to be more involved. We got to stop fighting each other. And that's why I'm highlighting you all the time, because you have the background. See, when you went in the law enforcement to all those different academies all over the country, probably the FBI Academy, the Southern Police Academy, you got all that stuff on your resume. The thing what you got to do is with your experience. See, one thing that sociology teaches you is the study of human nature, the mores, the norms, and the tendency of our society. That's what give a lawman the upper hand, because they got to be able to recognize something in a split decision, whether it's good, bad, or indifference. They must be able to do that. And we got to really tighten up on law enforcement, because there have been a lot of things that happened, and I'm not going to get with you on the show about the George Floyd and the Sabrina Taylor and all those people, where people made mistakes that made all the people who wore the badge, and remember, I wore the shield myself. We have to do better because we know better, and I know you're going to be, we already got with the city manager and with our group, that we're gonna ask them to start what we had years ago in the sheriff over, like the junior deputy, and have that for the fire department, and where you teaching kids how to be firemen while they're in, just like you patrol in the school, and you teach kids how to get into law enforcement and learn that. See, that's a line that will connect the community with the law. And we can't fight each other. We have to be on the same team. Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does. It certainly makes a lot of sense. And when you start losing programs like that, and you're certainly going to be fighting an uphill battle, and that would be a great ideal.
Okay. Well, we coming to the end, and you got something for Jeffrey to ask?
Well, I did already. I'm excited in just hearing what's possible, and also, Mr. Jackson, hearing your story and knowing that the future is to be so much brighter with you in it as a volunteer, and possibly getting into, the spirit of service more so than you are already in terms of running for some political office. So we'll stay tuned for that. We want to thank you so very much. You have a lot of people who are listening in and tuning in to hear you, so thank you so much for sharing it, and also we're sharing it on all your social media. So thank you for blessing us on hashtag I Am Revere Beach. It's been great.
Jeff,
great.
You got a final remark? Because the show is coming to the end.
Yes, I just want to say thank you guys for letting me be a part of this wonderful program. I like the work that you're doing, and I'm dedicated and committed to working for the people. I want to uplift people, and particularly those people in our county, and provide a better life. And for the young people, we want to provide direction for them. If you have a chance to mentor a young person and change their life in any capacity. It might be buying a pair of tennis shoes to simply giving some good advice. Most of us have had someone in our life at some point to help us out, and that's what we got to do more of. We got to stop fighting each other and not get caught up in the weeds. You know, we should go out there, and if we're going to get in trouble, let's get in good trouble. But let's look to do the kind of things that will uplift our community, and that's what I'm all about. And Ms. Kelly, again, I want to thank you for inviting me to be a part of so many opportunities to uplift the community and help with different outreaches. And I will be committed to that until I die.
Thank you.
Again,
well, you go and tell the people on Congress at Thousand Oaks over there and on the board all the goodwill and all the good things that you all are doing for the city of Riviera, and that most people don't come back and say thank you all because you're not getting paid for that. See, that's the main thing. You all are volunteering. Well, we're going to do something about Riviera. Now, that just all to it. But I can't forget about South Bay, Belgrade, and Pahokee. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to actually the whole county, because I think that people, that you would understand this better than anybody. When you work for the county, you take care of your home, but the county is still your part of your family, because you cover the county. That's what the sheriff does. See, the other part is staying their community. They're like the police in Riviera. They don't go outside of Riviera. That's what they're hired to do, is take care of that. But the sheriff's office hired to take care of the whole county, the second largest county in the whole United States. So I'm depending on you to stay in touch. And, of course, next week, Artie will be in here, Artie Williams and Mama. And you see, that's piggybacking right off what we were today, because Mama, we're going to stop the killing, for mothers won't be without their child. So if we do that, we don't have to worry about other mothers losing a child. But the ones who have lost a child, we're going to highlight and do something for that. So our next program next week will be Artie Williams, along with Mrs. Ann McNeil, about mothers against murders. I'm finished. Dr. Ann.
All right, everybody. I want to thank everybody. You have been listening to the episode entitled Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And we've had a wonderful, awesome interview with none other than the retired Palm Beach County Sheriff Captain, Mr. Jeffrey Jackson. And thank you, Dan Calloway, for being co-host. And Mr. Jackson, we will see you soon. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right, thanks.
Okay.